When the Lord calls His people to fight uphill battles. When the Lord calls His people to fight uphill battles. I want to go to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And when you have 2 Corinthians chapter 4, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Corinthians 4. 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Now go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel 14 verse 6 says, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, 'Come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few.' And his armor bearer said unto him, 'Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with you according to all that is in your heart.' Then said Jonathan, 'Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say unto us, Tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say to us, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us.' And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, 'Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves.' And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, 'Come up to us, and we will show you a thing.' And Jonathan said unto his armor-bearer, 'Come up after me, for the Lord had delivered him into the hand of Israel.' And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor-bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, and half acre of land, which is a yoke of oxen, my plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field and among the people. The garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling." Let me just give you the background of 1 Samuel chapter 14. The children of Israel are at war with the Philistines. The Philistines are a very barbaric, a very brutal people that have come and they have invaded the land of Israel. And in this story, Jonathan and his armor bearer are in a small mountain hold, and they're by this passageway. And this passageway is at an incline ascending up. And on both sides of this passageway, there are cliffs, there are overhangings, there are small mountains. And without going into detail, because we've read what happened, Jonathan says to his armor bearer, "Let's go up and let's fight the Philistines." And look with me again at verse 13. "And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet." So what's happening here is Jonathan and his armor bearer, they are ascending the steep incline. And they're literally on all fours. They're literally climbing on their feet, but they're also on their hands climbing up. That's how steep this incline is. And what they're doing is they're fighting an uphill battle. They're fighting a battle on hands and feet and climbing and warring this way with their sword, and they're slaying their enemies. So we see that they're fighting an uphill battle. And as I was in a time of prayer and just seeking the Lord really laid this passage upon my heart. And he said, "Tim, there are times that I call my people to fight uphill battles. That on this side of the cross, in this New Testament times, there are times that I just call my people to fight uphill battles." Now let me just ask the question here. What are uphill battles to the people of God today? People of God today. Uphill battles are battles that are accompanied by real struggle. They're not easy battles, and they require that God's people truly stand in faith and in grace. Uphill battles are battles that are not fought in a day, but sometimes on a daily basis, one day at a time, we have to look to the Lord for His grace and His strength to triumph in these battles. Beloved, in my heart, I know that most saints, if not all saints, we all have places of weakness in our lives. We all have places in our lives where we struggle, and there are places of weakness, and it causes us to one day at a time look to the Lord for His grace and strength. It's not a battle that's won in one prayer meeting. It's not a battle that's won in one altar call. But it's daily having to look to the Lord for His grace and His strength in our lives to triumph. That's what an uphill battle is. And when I look in the letters of Paul, we see that Paul himself faced uphill battles. We see that Paul himself had to look to the Lord on a daily basis for grace and strength to overcome and triumph. Because there were obstacles and there were things that came upon his life and confronted him on a daily basis. And he had his own uphill battles, just having to look to the Lord for strength and grace every day of his life. And what I want to do is I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to define some of Paul's uphill battles. I want to see some of the things that Paul faced where he had to daily look to the Lord for grace and strength. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look with me at verse 10. Paul says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake." So in verse 10, we see that Paul lists some obstacles here that he had to deal with throughout his whole life and his whole ministry. It wasn't a one-time battle to fight. These are different things that appeared in Paul's life throughout his life and throughout his ministry that Paul had to continually look to the Lord for grace and strength for. And I just want to define these things that Paul lists here in verse 10 and really get an understanding of the things that Paul faced and he needed grace for. First of all, he says that I take pleasure in infirmities. And that word infirmities literally means here physical afflictions. And when you go with Paul through the letters of Paul, through his writings, through his letters that he wrote to the saints, you see that Paul had to deal with physical afflictions. And brothers and sisters, throughout the ages, throughout the church age, going back in history, you see that there were great men and women of God who had to deal with physical affliction. They had to deal with physical ailments. They had to deal with sicknesses. They had to deal with these things in their life as they walked with the Lord. And there are people in the church that would tell you the reason why they weren't healed is because they didn't have faith. But brothers and sisters, the very opposite is true. It's because they had faith that they didn't throw their confidence away in the Lord because they had a physical affliction in their life. It was because they had faith that they looked to the Lord for His grace and His strength to keep serving and ministering in the midst of physical affliction. These were people of great faith and of great grace. Paul says here that he takes pleasure in his reproaches. This word reproach means accusations, allegations. It means to bring a charge against another. And when you really look at it, what Paul is talking about is the suffering in the mind. When you really study this word and look at it, what Paul is talking about is the enemy coming and warring against his mind. And there were times that he would suffer in his mind. And beloved, we all have an enemy, and there are times that he will come against the mind and he will attack that mind with such lies and with such an onslaught. And at times there is a great suffering that goes on in the mind of the saint. And brothers and sisters, sometimes we go through seasons where the attack on our minds is so tenacious by the enemy that it's a daily having to go to the Lord and look to the Lord for grace and strength when it comes to the battles of the mind. And I believe with all my heart, every battle that we win is standing upon the Word of God, trusting the Word, believing the Word. But I also know sometimes it takes great grace to stand in faith upon the Word of God. It's just not standing in faith. There's a great grace that is applied to our life to believe God and stand upon the Word of God when the enemy is coming against our minds. Paul says here, I take pleasure in necessities. And that word necessity means to want. And it's referring to the times that Paul suffered want. Brothers and sisters, there were times that Paul suffered hunger. There were times he talks in Corinthians, go back a chapter, he suffered thirst. There were times that he says, I was in perils of nakedness. In other words, he didn't have sufficient clothing to protect him from the cold. There were times that his flesh was very uncomfortable. But you have to remember what Paul said in these times when he wrote to the Philippians. He says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." And one of the things that Paul is saying is that it's in these times of want, it's in these times where the flesh has to be uncomfortable, that I have found my contentment in Christ. That Christ, in these times where I'm suffering want and my flesh is very uncomfortable, it's in these times that Christ has taught me how to be content in Him. And I feel into my heart, I just want to say it again. You've heard me say it, but hopefully it will get into our spirit. That in the future, in our nation, in our world, very hard and difficult times are coming. And we're not going to enjoy the things that we're enjoying now. That they're just not going to be there. But brothers and sisters, it's going to be in those times that the Lord is really going to teach us how to be content in Christ. And I have a word of encouragement to somebody. I know that there are people here and you've had to live by faith. You've had to do without a lot of things. I know there are people here and you've been living hand to mouth, just having your needs met, walking in faith. And the Lord wants you to know that when these hard times come, you are going to be such a strength. You are going to be such a testimony to people who are now having to learn to be content with Christ and Christ alone. There's a reason why the Lord has you living faith day by day. There's a reason why you're having to trust the Lord to have your daily needs met on your knees in prayer. And that is because one day you're going to be such a testimony to the body of Christ that when the things aren't there anymore and our flesh is so uncomfortable, you're going to be such a strength and a testimony. You can be content with Christ. Amen. Paul said, "I learned how to take pleasure in my necessities when this flesh has to do without." Paul says, "I've learned to take pleasure in my persecutions." Brothers and sisters, Paul, whose life and ministry was plagued by persecution. Throughout his ministry, from one town to the next town, he was persecuted. And Paul said himself that the Holy Spirit bears witness that everywhere I go, bonds and afflictions await. Paul knew about persecution in his life. Paul says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in distresses." And that word distresses means calamities. Brothers and sisters, in the will of God, Paul experienced calamities. I'm reminded of the shipwreck where he was stranded a night and a day in the deep. And we have to understand that as God's people, everything is not always going to go seemingly right in the call of God. They're not always going to go seemingly right in the call of God, that calamities are going to happen. I remember as a child waking up in the middle of the night and watching the church that my father pastored burn down to the ground. I remember that. Waking up in the middle of the night and staring out the window and watching my father's church burn to the ground. And I remember hearing a testimony of a great man of God one time talking about how his house burned to the ground and how he lost everything and nothing was salvaged. And brothers and sisters, we don't always understand why these kind of things happen. But one thing we do know when we read the Word of God is that no matter what happens, we are loved by God. And even in times of calamity, we have to rest in the love of God and trust in the love of God and draw grace and strength from the love of God as we walk through these kind of things with the Lord. So brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is that in all these things, Paul is saying that in all these things, all these uphill battles, that's what Paul is saying in verse 10. These are things that I face daily. These are just wasn't a one-time occurrence and a one-time battle. These were things that appeared in my life, and these are things that happened in my ministry. And I had to look to the Lord for grace one day at a time and for strength one day at a time. This is what an uphill battle is. Now, Paul is saying that all these things are uphill battles. In other words, these are things that occur throughout his life and ministry that causes him to daily look to the Lord for grace and strength. But Paul tells us that the Lord allows these uphill battles for a reason. Now, I just want to walk through a few scriptures here in 2 Corinthians, and I want to start with verse 7. Paul says that the Lord allows these uphill battles, these times where I have to look to the Lord for grace and strength for a reason. Look with me at verse 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of a revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, there's a few things that we can talk about here. But there's this one thing on my heart, really, by the Lord, and what Paul is saying. Paul is saying in that all these things that we mention, infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, distresses, Paul is saying, yes, a lot of it comes from the enemy. So much of it comes from the enemy against my life, but God is the one that has allowed the enemy. Paul is saying God is using the enemy in all these things for his purposes. God has allowed this. Now, before Paul fully got the revelation that God is allowing these things and there's a purpose for it, there's something that was going on in Paul's heart before he finally understood that God's hand was in it. Look with me at verse 8. Paul says in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." So in other words, Paul is saying he was given this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he says, "It was such a grievous to my heart that I went to the Lord three times and I prayed." Now, brothers and sisters, we're not talking about a little prayer meeting before supper time. I believe that there was much suffering and much grief that this thorn in his side was causing him. That he set himself aside to prayer and fasting. And in those seasons of prayer and fasting, he asked the Lord to take this thorn away, because it was causing him much suffering. But I truly believe there was another reason Paul was asking the Lord to take this thorn away. Not just because it was causing him much suffering, because it was. But I truly believe Paul felt that this thorn in the flesh was a hindrance to him. He felt like this thorn in the flesh was a hindrance to his ministry. He felt like if he didn't have this thorn in his flesh, he could be much more focused on the kingdom of God than this thorn that's in his flesh. Paul felt like he could be so much more powerful and effective for the kingdom of God if he didn't have to deal with this thing. And I always want to ask someone this morning, how many of you are looking at your afflictions and looking at your weaknesses and looking at your struggles and feeling they are more of a hindrance than a help? How many of you are saying, if I just didn't have this thing I have to deal with, this thorn that I didn't have to deal with, I could be so much more focused on the kingdom of God? If I didn't have this thorn, if I didn't have this affliction, if I didn't have this thing I have to deal with, I could be so much more powerful for the kingdom of God. And then our hearts, we pray like Paul. He said he prayed three times. Maybe some of us pray 10 times. Lord, why don't you take this from me? Lord, I could be more focused. I could be more effective. I could be more powerful if I didn't have to deal with this thing. That's what Paul was saying. Three times I sought the Lord to take this thing, this thorn, this grievousness from me. But then the revelation came to Paul's heart. And when the revelation came to Paul's heart, the victory came to Paul's heart. And the victory wasn't in having the affliction, the thorn removed. The victory was in the revelation coming to his heart that this is the very thing that causes God's great grace to work in and through my life. That was his victory. That was his victory. Look with me at verse 9. "And the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And this is what the Lord was telling Paul. The Lord was saying, Paul, this very thing, this battle, this weakness, this struggle, this thorn that you feel is such a hindrance to you, it is the very thing that causes my great grace to flow through your life. Don't despise your weakness and don't despise your times of great weakness, but embrace them because they are the very thing that causes great grace to work in and through you. what you actually think is a hindrance to you is the very thing that causes my power to flow through your life. And that was Paul's victory. Paul's victory wasn't in it, it went away. Paul's victory is he found the life in it. He found the purpose in it. He found the grace in it. He found the cause in it. And when Paul truly got this revelation in his heart, he found the joy and he found victory. Look at verse 10. Paul then goes on to say, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, Paul found victory in these things. Paul began to embrace these things with a great assurance of heart. He began to embrace them. Things that he used to pray to go away, he now embraces to his heart. Because he understands the reason why I'm doing all these miracles is because of the afflictions in my life. It's the afflictions, it's the weaknesses, it's the physical afflictions, it's the times, the reproaches, it's in the distresses. I embrace all these things. I take pleasure in these things because these are the very things that is manifesting the grace of God in my life. And every miracle that I'm performing, I can take it back to my place of weakness where His grace and strength is made perfect in me. See, Paul is saying here, yes, it's tough. The thorn in the flesh is tough. The physical afflictions and mental sufferings and necessities and distresses are tough. But I see what all these things bring about in my life, and that is great grace. When I heal the sick, it is because of the grace, the great grace working through my weakness and my afflictions. When I deliver the demon possessed, it is because of the great grace working through my weakness and my afflictions. When I preach a message that changes and transforms lives, it is because of the great grace working through my weaknesses and my afflictions. Therefore, I take pleasure in all these things because when I am weak, then He is strong and His strength is glorified in me. Paul is saying, I think every time a demon-possessed child was delivered or someone horribly paralyzed and a paralegic was healed, I think Paul thanked God for his afflictions and his distresses and his infirmities because he knew that was the channel that God was giving grace through. And he became victorious, not that the affliction went away, but he found life in it. He found God's strength in it. He found God's joy in it. Now, with all this in mind, I want you to go right back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. I have to tell you, when the Lord opened the eyes of my heart to see this, talk about a private celebration, I couldn't help but walk around and give God glory. And I know that it's going to come into your heart too. You may not get physically excited as about it as I did, but I know you're going to see it. Would you look with me at verse 13 through verse 15? And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and his feet. That's the uphill battle. And his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which is a yoke of oxen might plow. It says, and there was a trembling in the host in the field and among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers, they all trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. So here you see they're fighting an uphill battle and they're slaying the Philistines. And the Bible says within the heart of the Philistines there became a great trembling. There became a great fear that they became afraid. And I already told you what the uphill battles are. Battles that involve struggle. Battles that require really looking to the Lord for His grace in time of great weakness. But here is my point. Even in time of struggle and weakness, when we think the enemy is gloating over us and rejoicing over us and jeering and taunting us because we're in a place of great weakness, the enemy is in great fear because he knows what great grace in times of weakness is capable of. He knows. When the enemy sees a vessel that is weak and really looking to the Lord for great grace, he becomes fearful and tremble inside because he knows what God is capable of doing, what his grace is capable of doing in times of weakness. The devil was there when Sarah and Abraham left their home for a strange land, where they went through many trials, difficult trials of faith. And when he was 100 years old and she was a 90-year-old woman, God gave them a son that would one day bless all the nations with redemption. The devil was there at the Red Sea when an 80-year-old man walking in great grace destroyed a wicked world empire with nothing but a stick and the word of God. The enemy was there at the walls of Jericho when Joshua marched his army 7 times around and one of the world's most powerful fortresses and strongholds toppled to the ground. He was there when Gideon cried out, "My family is poor and I am the least in my father's house." And this same Gideon destroyed an army of over 1,000 men with only 300 men. The enemy was there when a barren woman through a feeble heart and trembling lips prayed and asked for a son, and the Lord delivered Samuel to her. The enemy was there when Zerubbabel stared in horrible distress at the burned temple ruins the Lord told him to rebuild. And the devil heard God's words of comfort to Zerubbabel, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit you will rebuild these ruins. Who art thou, O great mountain of impossibility? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt be leveled to a plain, and he shall lay the headstone of the temple, finishing the work I called him to do, crying out, 'Grace, grace. By grace I started the work, and by grace I finished the work.'" And Satan and all his demons were there at Calvary when Christ was hanging on the cross at the weakest state of his humanity and won the greatest victory of all for mankind. Beloved, Satan knows what grace is capable of doing when a servant of the Lord is at their weakest point and he trembles. You may be here today in a place of great weakness, a place of great struggle, and you feel like the enemy is laughing at you and jeering at you, but the Lord says, good news today, he's trembling. Because he knows what great grace is capable of doing at your point of weakness. And he trembles. And when this really became alive in my heart, there was such a prayer of thanksgiving that went up from the Lord. I began to thank the Lord. I began to say, "Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that the devil is afraid of me. But he's not afraid of me. He's afraid of the grace of God in me. And God, I'm so thankful that at my weakest point, your grace is sufficient, your strength is sufficient, your faithfulness is sufficient. And God, I thank you that in my times of weakness, your great grace is capable of doing its most powerful work." Amen. Look with me at verse 23. It says, "So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over into Beth-Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, 'Cursed be the man that eat any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies.' So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not what his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened." So brothers and sisters, here's the picture. After this great battle, Jonathan is very fatigued, he's very weary, and he's very hungry. And he sees his honeycomb, and the Bible says that he tasted the honey in his mouth and his eyes were enlightened. Now his eyes were enlightened because when he began to eat of that honey, there was an impartation of life that came into him. There was an impartation of strength that came in him. There was an impartation of nourishment that came into him. And what I want to bring out real quick right here is that in times of battle, it's at the table of the Lord where we find this grace we're talking about. In times of our battles, it's going into the presence of the Lord and seeking his heart and seeking his face. Coming to the Lord's table, that God begins to impart life into our heart. That he begins to open up his word. He begins to show us that he delights in us. He begins to show us that even though we're in the battle, he passionately loves us. He begins to show us that everything that we need is in him if we'll just come and ask him for it. Ask, seek, knock. He begins to show us that we have a throne of grace where everything that we need is imparted to us. It's at the table of the Lord. The Lord desires that His people come into His presence in that secret place, close that door and get alone with God and just begin to commune at the table of the Lord. And when we do that, the Lord says, that's what brings pleasure to my heart. And it's at the table of the Lord where you're going to find the joy. You're going to find the victory. You're going to find the rest that you need to come through the battles and to conquer the battles. That's the place, brothers and sisters, that is the place of victory. It's the place of just getting into His presence and saying, Lord, I know I'm in the battle, but I'm just here. I want my time with You, and I'm here to seek Your heart, and I'm here to seek Your face. And that's when the pleasure of the Lord just comes upon our lives, and the Lord says, there's no other place I would rather have You be than in this place, seeking my heart, ministering to my heart, letting my word speak life to you. That is God's heart. And that is the place where we find the grace and we find the strength and we find the joy. That's the place where God refreshes our heart. The Bible says that if you'll wait upon the Lord, He will renew your strength. That's the place. It's the pleasure of the Lord that brings us to that place. But see, something happens here, and this is where many lose their strength in the battle. This is where many lose their strength to overcome. In the midst of our battle, there arises a voice that can be so overpowering if we truly do not know the Lord's heart. In the midst of the battle, there can be a voice that comes that's so overwhelming and overpowering that it will take us if we do not know the Lord's heart. You see, in this story, in the midst of the battle, Saul's voice rises up and overpowers the hearts of his people. They're winning the battle, and Saul's voice rises up above their hearts. And what Saul says is that there's no one to take any food. There's no one to eat and take any nourishment until all of my enemies are defeated. No one is to partake of any food. No one is to partake of any nourishment until all of my enemies have been put under my feet and they're defeated. And beloved, this is where many lose strength to overcome in their battles, because we give heed to this voice. The enemy comes and he roars in our mind, you have no right to partake of the Lord's table until you are walking in complete victory. As long as you are struggling and battling with issues in your heart and struggling with temptations, you are not in the place of victory and you have no right to commune with the Lord. The enemy tells us that when we are in a place of weakness and struggle, that the Lord frowns upon us because we're not walking in the victory. But this morning, the Lord wants to tell you it is a lie. When you're in a place of weakness and you're in a place of struggle and you're in a battle, the Lord is saying, the Lord's heart is saying this, I am touched with the feelings of your infirmities. I know your struggles. I know your battles. I know your weaknesses. I know what you're going through. I have been touched by those things. Now come boldly to my throne of grace. Come seek my face. Come sit at my feet, because I have everything that you need. If you need joy, I'll give you joy. If you need peace, I'll give you peace. If you need rest, I'll give you rest. If you need strength, I'll give you strength. Come to my table. But the enemy says, no, 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 you're struggling. Look at these things in your heart. Look at these weaknesses in your life. You have no right to come to God's table until you feel in your life you're walking in complete victory. And that's what keeps us from the table of the Lord. We go under this condemnation. I have no right to be at God's table. And then there's no strength to finish the battle, because it only comes from being at God's table. The Lord says, come into my presence and commune with me, and I'll speak grace and life into you. See, brothers and sisters, I've learned something in my walk with the Lord through the scriptures. The Lord doesn't despise weakness. He is attracted to weakness. The Lord doesn't despise weakness. He is drawn to weakness. And He comes to that weakened vessel and fills it with His grace. Now let's just end the message with this. The enemy loves to come and point out flaws and weaknesses and imperfections and tell us that we are not walking in victory in these areas, and therefore we have no right to come into the Lord's presence. But the Lord wants His people to know that though we are not perfect in ourselves and He is working on us, we are already in Christ's victory. And we should not be a condemned people. We should be a joyful people, celebrating and rejoicing in what Christ has done and the victory He has won. One more scripture. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Look with me at verse 10. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice. Everyone say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful. Everyone say joyful. Joyful in my God. Why? For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Why do we rejoice? Why do we have joy? Because we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. Yes, I'm not perfect. There are things God still has to work on in my life. But glory to God, His righteousness is perfect. And I'm clothed in His righteousness. And when the Lord looks at me, He doesn't look at human perfection, that I'm humanly able to do everything perfect. But He looks at Christ's perfection. And so I do have a great high priest standing before the throne. And the Lord looks at me and He pardons me because He sees His righteousness upon me. Therefore, I can have joy. I can rejoice. I don't have to live under the condemnation of the enemy that I'm always failing and I'm always not measuring up. Christ has measured up and I am in Christ. And I like what it says. It says, He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. He's covered me. When the enemy tries to point out weaknesses and faults and imperfections, if you will listen real closely in your heart, you will hear God say, I got you covered. Enemy comes and says, you have pride. And the Lord will come. And if you listen real closely, you'll hear the Lord say, but I got you covered. You're struggling with lust. Oh, I'm working on that. But no, I got you covered. You're an egomaniac. I know that more than the devil does. I'm not talking about myself, I'm just talking. But I know God is working in my heart. Humility. And while He is working, I got you covered. He has me covered. Right? That's why I can rejoice in this salvation. That's why I can have joy in my walk with God. That's why I don't have to live under the condemnation and accusations of the enemy. He could probably write 200. I could write 400. I know my imperfections and where I struggle. But I also know where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I know I'm covered by the Lord. He who knew no sin became sin for me. He took my sin that I might be made the righteousness of Christ in Him. Talk about joy. Joy. Amen. The Lord says, if you listen closely, you'll hear me say, I got you covered. Don't come out of your victory. Don't come out of your joy. Don't come out of your rest. I got you covered. Stand with me this morning.